the new lesson, which is up on the website, is on confusion. This topic came up, and it's something I want us to get because too many people are actually being confused, and it should not be. Confusion, hopefully as you see this, is something that we are allowing. Now, I know we may feel it. If you ask anybody, you could ask my wife, I could be one of the most confused people. You ask something, they go, what? What are you talking about? You know how you get that and all that. And I know with my dyslexia, that comes and plays a part that can cause confusion. So all this stuff comes into play here, down here in life. But overall in life, confusion is something more that we're allowing. And because we're allowing it, we're putting ourselves in a bad situation. So hopefully when we come out of this lesson, you'll have clarity on how not to be confused. You understand that? Doesn't mean you're not going to have some of the trivial things in your life or things in this world to be confused with. And I'll talk about that. But the overall picture of truly understanding life and what we're supposed to do in God, that's actually clearer than what you think. And we're going to talk about that. Now, first of all, I'm going to ask a question, but I'm not going to answer the question until the end of the study. Question is, a game was played and the final score was 84 to 74. Who won the game? Now, I know some of you already probably know, wait a minute, I have a question to ask. Or some will go, no, I already know the answer. That's fine. But I wanted to keep that question up there. And then we're going to come back to that at the end of this. Now, I ask that question because questions are where confusion comes in. When somebody gives a question or even when they describe something, confusion comes in. And confusion will come from one of three sources: yourself, the communicator itself, or the material. Okay? So in our lives, we have three things. When you think of the three things, either myself, who's either teaching me or influencing me receiving the word, or the word. Now, what Satan wants you to think is the word is confusing, or what God is doing is confusing. But let's make something clear. God is not a God of confusion. When he says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, that God is not a God of confusion, that's why he tells us to do church in decency and order. He says, but of peace, as in all the churches of saints. Now, why is that so important? Because he's not the God of confusion, he doesn't do things to cause confusion with those who are looking at it in the right way. Some may go, well, didn't he do parables to cause confusion? No, actually, he did not. And we're going to talk about why it wasn't confusing, but why are we still confused? So what that leaves for us in this study is to realize that the word of God is not confusing. It's either I'm confused or I'm being confused. In each case, it still falls on me. And we're going to talk about how to get rid of that. Confusion comes from the Greek word, which means instability or disorder. Okay, confusion, plain and simple. It's a word in which we have to really maintain and be careful not to allow to run our lives, because what you have people doing is we take confusion and we start making it an excuse, and then we stay in a state of confusion. Now, God does not accept that because he didn't put us in that state. So what do we do to come out of it? So let's clear and understand how he's not first. God makes clear to us that Christ is the standard. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. The power of that statement, okay, the power of that verse in itself, and I always say the key word is the. And years ago, when it came and you couldn't get an understanding of it, the clarity let you know is that's the answer. Now, where we get confused is when the answer doesn't fit what I think the answer should be. That's why I have, therefore, true confusion is when something that happens is not in line with sound doctrine. What that means is the Bible is never confusing. I'm allowing myself to be confused. If the Bible says something, how a Christian is supposed to react is, got it. But why do we get confused? Well, because usually we're doing something that we're going to talk about later, and we hear this verse over and over again. We apply our understanding, which kind of now causes confusion. If we're being honest, all of us have a perception of God instead of just taking what he says he is. We have something in our minds and we really think what God wouldn't do, what God should do, how God would handle this, how God wouldn't handle this. And we have a lot of that stuff. Some of it we might have let go as we matured, but unless we let go of all of it and just let Him tell us, this is why one of the biggest reasons why we're confused, because we're allowing some other element to be added to it. This is why he says corruption and why purity is such an important part of a Christian's walk. So we're going to go over the two things that cause confusion so you can be aware of them, so you can eliminate them. And we're going to find out what's going to happen to the people that cause it. And then we're going to go over how we are confused. And then we're going to end it with how not to be confused. So first of all, confusion is a product. And this is those who are causing confusion. Their confusion is a product of people distorting the Bible. Okay? And distortion, we're going to talk about it. Let's read this first. In 2 Peter 3, 15 through 16, he says, "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him." First of all, we know it came from God and gave it to Paul, and he gave it to him. So he's saying, right here, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. And watch what it says here. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Please don't mix up hard to understand with confusing. Okay? See, confusing means, wait a minute, I'm seeing two different things. Hard to understand means I don't 100% get it yet. I see what it's saying. I know you said this plus this added to this, subtracted from this, gave me this answer. I see that. I just don't understand it. That's one thing. That's fine because you got to grow in your understanding. But when you go, wait a minute, it can't equal that, that's confusing because you're now questioning it. Okay? And it says, Paul's letters, which the wisdom came from God, sometimes you're questioning God when you get these letters and scripture, they're hard to understand. But watch what he says happens. He says, which ignorant and unstable people do what? Distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Now, I was speaking to somebody this week, and I was saying, if you pay close attention, and we have a lot of groups and denominations and things out there, and if they were just groups that cater to what we may call the indisputable things, this wouldn't be an issue. But if you pay close attention, like for instance, most of these groups, and I'm going to take two in particular, you have the Black Church and you have the Evangelicals. And unfortunately, both groups, if you pay close attention, have the gospel in there, but they also have their own doctrine. Okay? And what do I mean, their own doctrine? Like in the Black Church, if you go to the Black Church, our race and history is almost equal to the gospel. So sometimes they go hand in hand. In other words, my blackness or whatever in my heritage is just as important and as equal as my salvation. Is that true? No, it's not. That's this book's doctrines, not what the Bible says, but it's something we add. Evangelicals, especially here in America, you'll notice we put more on the country. Like if you didn't know any better, you think if I said the word patriot, it's equal to being a Christian. And in fact, it's just the opposite in the Bible. He says, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy towards God. I don't see how you can't see that. So both these groups have their own doctrine. Do you understand it? So they're distorting scripture. You understand it? When you distort it, you twist it, you add to it, you do something else to scripture to fit another thing. That's why he says, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. So the people that are equalizing these from those two groups, and that's just two of many of these, what we call Christian groups out there, that we take the other stuff that they're saying equal to what the Bible is saying. And we go with it. That means now you're getting distorted scripture. That's why you're confused. Because you'll see something happening and go, well, isn't this supposed to happen? These people are godly. But what are you measuring your godliness with? Are you measuring it with the group's doctrine or the Bible? See, if it was the Bible, I don't care if you came from the Black church or the Evangelical church or the Korean church or the Russian church, it would all be the same because y'all coming from the same Bible. But the reason why these groups differ is because they take their cultural or their situational or whatever doctrine and applied with the Bible. And in many cases, they'll take what is in the Bible and get rid of anything that contradicts their doctrine. And we follow. And destruction is bad. That's why we're so confused and we're in a confused state. It actually shows us here, confusion is from people preaching false gospels. Galatians 1, 6 through 7 says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. The Bible speaks of one gospel for everybody, but you have different people. That's why we're talking about. Some are talking about eternal security, and some people are talking about, fundamentalism, where you can just go to hell for doing anything, and you have people where you can lose this and so on and so forth. I mean, you just have people that accept everybody and all their sins and they're all going to heaven, where other ones saying nope, only a certain group of people are going to heaven. You have all these things, and they're easily to be found out if we just went to the Bible. I've yet to see anything that really concerns our salvation that is so hard to deal with, but when I hear people debate or talk about it, they're using outside things and people they trust and people they listen to, and not just the word of God. You get that? And that's why he's saying to them, what Paul is saying to them is the same thing we should be saying to us. I can't believe you guys are allowing this to interfere in what you're supposed to be understanding. Simply put, hey, where's that at in the Bible? That's your, the question we have to ask. I need you to clearly show me sound doctrine where that at in the Bible. Where is that at in the Bible? That's why he says turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. He says, evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And in many cases, they have succeeded, and you still have some people that are foolishly and dangerously following it. They're following different gospels instead of the true gospel of Christ. You see me, we just did in the sermon. Sermon's very clear. It gives chapter upon chapter and book and verse upon everything concerning our works are going to display the evidence if I'm saved or not. And then I'm showing the scripture, and you still got people that the minute you say the word works, they panic. I mean, they're panicking. I can't believe, no, the works play no part. You can't say nothing about works. Don't do that. While you're looking at the same word that they say they're supporting, so they're revering a human's doctrine based off of something wrong instead of saying, hey, well, how does this work based on the Bible? And unfortunately, many of us do that today. You see, the church leadership, and this is why I got to talk about it, and this is why I even had to use specific groups that are out there. Church leadership has been warned to protect from those that cause confusion. This is part of my job. Part of the feeding I have to do is part of the protection. It says in Acts 20, 29-31, he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. What he's saying is there are going to be people that are going to come in and they're going to attack the flock. You understand? And they're not going to not touch the Christians. In fact, this is part of the protection for the Christians. Okay, but you still get Christians that don't listen. In fact, some of them go chasing after the wolves. He says, even from your own number, which he's basically saying, some of them aren't going to come from outside in, some of them are already going to be in there. And the stuff that they're going to be teaching is going to attack the flock. He says, men will arise and do what? Distort the truth to do what? In order to draw away disciples after them. So look what their purpose is. Their purpose is not salvation. Their purpose is not worshiping Christ. Their purpose is, I need clientele. I want a following. You understand? So I'm going to tell you stuff that either you want to hear, that's enticing, that's profound, or I'm going to make it so it seems like I have all the answers and you're going to foolishly follow me. You understand that? And it says, so he tells us as pastors to be on your guard. And he says, remember that for 3 years, I've never stopped warning each of you day and night and day with tears. So he's saying this is going to happen. This is continually happening. We even seen a verse as we're going to talk about with false teachers. But the same thing is what he told us is going to happen. And if we kind of just out of worldly respect, not say anything, I still keep hearing people listening to and following nonsense. Now, unlike the humans down here, God is not going to take that lightly. So if you choose to follow the wrong teacher without checking the teacher, that is on you. Please understand that. Okay, so this is where the confusion becomes a clarity. Simply put, if you can show me soundly in the word what you're saying, we're good. If you can't, we got a problem. Not, hey, I like this teacher, I like this whole passage, I like this thing they're going over. It's, I gotta understand this. I have to see this. Now, when purpose is self, we cause confusion. Okay, so that's another thing of people causing confusion because of self. And this is what those people use. James 3:16 says, for where, and I use the New King James Version on this because of the translation on it that it used for these two words, because in NIV, it's still strong. It's selfish ambition and envy as well in this one. But it says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So these two elements are something that are in total existence today. I mean, we understand envy is, I'm driven by what you have. Does that make sense? And some people count that as a noble thing. You know what I mean? I get older and I see somebody that has a lot, so I'm going to work hard to get what they have. That's not a good thing, but we teach it is. You understand that? I work hard so I can have what they have, or to make sure I have more than what they have. That's envy. That means it's a driving force that we shouldn't have, but we actually teach as a motivator. In fact, by far the most successful people in this world have these two qualities, self-seeking and envious. Because you got the people that are self-seeking and envious, especially when they become what we call successful. That's how they can justify and underpaying people, not giving like they're supposed to, overindulging self, which is debauchery, all that stuff. It causes confusion because you have the ones who say we're following the word, and we watch these people and we're like, well, they seem like they're enjoying themselves and everything keeps falling in place for them and everything's going well for them. And when gas prices went high, it didn't touch them. And they seem like they're not bothered by this. And the pandemic, they just got to stay home. And we say all this stuff and it causes confusion because of our envy and self-seeking. You understand this? And this is such a powerful thing. How people get to us is by using us. We're siloed in the church because people speak to what we want to hear. And we follow the ones that say what we want to hear, not the ones that are telling us what God says. Think about that. That's a powerful thing to think about. You understand? In which we're following what we want to hear. And when I could tell you, hey, you can have, because then it actually caters to my envy. That envy is not supposed to play a part. And it says where you find these qualities, confusion and evil and every evil thing. Unfortunately, until you get rid of this, you're going to stay confused. You're going to stay confused. And because we use those words envy and self-seeking, some people think, well, that's not talking about me because those words sound harsh. But it's the same thing as me looking at somebody else. That's envy. In any way, when I see what you have and it becomes a motivation or anything, that's envy. When I do it because I want to or is what I like, that's self-seeking, plain and simple. And they seem like just normal things today while they're extremely dangerous for Christians to have. Now, those that cause confusion will pay. I want to make no mistake about this. Let's make very clear what the Bible says about them. First of all, in Galatians 5, 7 through 10, he says, you were running a good race. Who cut in and kept you from obeying the truth? So Paul is asking the Galatians, what just happened? You guys were doing so well. What just happened? Who came in and now you guys are doing this? It says that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. He's basically saying, if you're going on this one path, which is in the word, how come all of a sudden I see you now taking the left, which is not in the word? All this time you've been following the word. Where did this come from? It's a simple thing. And I see Christians do it all the time, which, okay, the Bible says, next thing you know, they're doing something. You're like, where'd you get that from? Well, I heard this person say, stop. Watch. And just like Paul saying, who the heck did you allow to come in and make you make a left turn, even though it's not in there? And he says something here that's very powerful. In verse 9, he says, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I don't know if you remember, I did one of my steps a couple of weeks ago in which we were explaining how we have to be very careful on some of these things, especially in today, which we have so many avenues of preaching the gospel. People are taking a license to really put it out there, not realizing in some cases to either add entertainment, to add human clarity to things, to add enjoyment, whatever it may be, we add a little bit sometimes to our preaching to make it a little more enticing. And it's just a little bit, but as you said here, a little yeast. When I say a little yeast, that's sin, but I'm adding something that's not of God. It's not of God, it's evil. So just a little bit, he says, works through the whole batch of dough. And that's exactly what's happening. We're buying books, we're listening to videotapes, we're watching movies, we're watching series, and these things have just a bit here and there. And you're like, oh, it's no big deal. That's what people do. Oh, it's no big deal. Even though he's saying right here, it doesn't take much. He says, I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. He's basically saying, I hope you people get what I just said. He was like, the one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Let me be very clear. These false ministers, I don't care how well they mean it, they're doomed. And not only doomed, that is by far, as God is showing, the worst sin that's going to end up in the worst part of hell. So people who are rushing to become ministers and they're not reverent, they're really setting themselves up. Really setting themselves up. And for those of us who may follow them without checking them, not only are we setting ourselves up, we're helping them to stay in the path that they're going. Think about it. We have the ability to check them, but we don't, usually because that selfish ambition and vain conceit, or that, I'm sorry, that envy and that self-seeking, where we allow those things to keep us there because we end up listening to them. He also shows in Galatians 1, 8 through 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. And then he repeated this, as I've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Eternally condemned, of course, means hell. People don't understand that. And that's what he's saying. So this is a huge thing. So he's saying even if the apostles did it, he's like, even if any teacher afterwards, even if an angel did it, he was like, hell they are going forever, eternally. And that's how we have to take the word of God and saying, if I ever make any twist on this, I am really setting myself up eternally. So what is to be expected from those who preach the word? So I'm gonna get ahead here. So this is what you're supposed to look for. Every one of us, and he gives it to us clearly here. First, what you need to make sure they don't do, and then what you got to make sure that we do. Okay? Something, there's two things in there, two sections of things, and we have to erase the things that you see happening out there. So in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 5, it says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. And what I should have highlighted, because it's through God's mercy. The ministry for me is not for my success. It's not for my name. It's not for you to look at me and be in awe of me. It's not for me to be profound. This is based on God's mercy. What that means is we don't deserve any of this. And because he's allowing us to even do this, I better be careful with this. Because, you know, we messed up and he's still offering this gift of life to us. Do you understand that? So he says, first of all, we do not lose heart. So because it's based on his mercy, as a pastor, I have no right to lose heart. Now, the reason why you see ministers changing or getting mad because we make the ministry about us. I'll be the first to tell you, I get the emotional feeling of it. I mean, these past couple of months have been some tough months, you know, with deaths and certain things going on and things that you get, they can immensely mess you up. But if you're not speaking or focusing spiritually, that's a hard thing. This is why you have to have spiritual conversations, continually have these spiritual connections and things of that sort. Because if you don't, you lose heart. Your purpose starts going, you know what? I don't care. You know what I mean? And you'll start preaching or not preaching that way. So the first thing you're not going to see is them doing a giving up type of thing, okay? But he says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. So we just see the things we have to get rid of, the things that should not come out of a ministry that you're paying attention to. So what is that? Renounced secret and shameful ways. So when you see people like Benny Hinn and them get up there and they do these games and you found out that it was a scam, you shouldn't be listening to them again. Okay? When you see them preaching out of anything else other than the Bible, you shouldn't be listening to them again. You see where I'm going with this, okay? When you take these secret and shameful. Now, the word shameful, unfortunately, think of it as ungodly. Okay? Because sometimes when we think shameful, they're speaking to us about stuff that we think is honorable. You understand that? But the danger is if it's not from the Bible, only God makes it honorable. So if it's not from God's word, I don't teach it in that way. I can refer to it, whatever, but it's not part of the foundation, and I better not make it part of the foundation. So I renounce them. They're gone. They do not play a part. Do not use deception. Deception is a lie. The difference between being shrewd and deceptive is shrewd. You don't lie. You understand that? You just don't have to come up with the Bible and read the Bible directly to them. It's your life displays the Bible. So you're doing everything that you're supposed to. They just don't know what you're doing. That's shrewdness. Deception is, so I come to you and say, if you become a Christian, you'll have nothing but this physical peace, and you'll have everything that you ever asked for, and all this. I'm lying to you. That's not what the Bible says. And people struggle from the Bible because somebody told them and used deception. When you get these ministers that add to what God said he's giving and what God said he's doing, that's deception. And then it says, nor do we distort the word of God. That's why you simply say, I need you to show me in sound doctrine this thing you're talking about. Do you understand? Why do I need to be in the word? So when I'm hearing somebody else preach, I can go, it is written. Sister Carolyn was saying when she came in and she asked that question about Paul, Satan speaking through Paul. Everybody's asking, where's that at? So until that comes out, nobody's going to, hopefully jump on it, because we want to hear from sound doctrine exactly where that's coming from. Do you understand that? But if not, if the ministry is giving these things, run away from them, is what he's saying. You stick with them, it becomes your fault. But he says, on the contrary, this is what you should be getting. Now watch this, by setting forth the truth plainly. So I'm reading the scripture and giving you what it says. That's it. You understand? We can explain what it says. That's it. You understand this? Okay. Well, as we were asked, as the question came up about Cain and Abel, all we know is God says, Cain, if you do right, I mean, if you do wrong, sin is sitting at your door, which is implying there's something you did wrong. That's it. You understand? The minute I start going, it's because Cain did this. I heard stories of Cain, that people wrote that's not in the Bible. Do you understand that? Okay. We hear these things. Like one of the biggest stories that's out there, I'm not saying it's not true or true, but you got to be careful when we minister it. We hear the Tower of Babel. We hear the person that promoted it was Nimrod. Everybody says he was, and the Bible does speak of Nimrod, says he was a great hunter. And then there was the Tower of Babel. Go back and find and read it. You notice the stories aren't together. We go through history and we add this and we come to the thing to where people saying it was Nimrod that started the people to build Tower of Babel. But you go to the Bible, you just don't find that there. You understand that? That's something that we allowed somebody to create a narrative and add to it. Now, is it a big deal? Yes, because it's not in the God's word. You understand that? And if they keep doing that, and I just accept the story, I tell the story, and they'll do it even with stuff that I'm supposed to follow and do. But setting forth the truth plainly, somebody can go, hey, can you show me that? No, here it is right here. You understand? And then you'll study it soundly to make sure there's no thing in the Bible that gives it qualifiers or to adjust it. And that's why it says we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Because however it affects you, I got to make sure it wasn't me that affected you. Did y'all catch this? I got to make sure it's God that affected you. I don't want to give a message based on God that didn't come from God. You see this? I've seen people who've gotten heartbroken and they're mad at God from some message somebody else gave. Why is God doing this to me? I'm like, well, what do you mean? Why is he doing this? When did he say he wasn't going to do this? Where are you getting this from? Well, I always thought, and they'll start doing that. I always thought or I always think or whatever. Why? Because we want to hear what we want to hear. As a pastor, I better make sure. I don't want you to come and say, Pastor, you said, so why is this happening to me? Mine is, the Bible says it, that's the answer. But then, if that's what you're following, somebody's presenting the word and you don't get it, pay close attention to what he's saying. He says, and even if our gospel is veiled, so if you don't understand what the word is saying, there's something he's saying here. Don't take it as an insult. Take it as something that you have to get rid of. He's saying it is veiled or covered to those who are perishing. That's the first step. So those who are not Christians, they can't see it. Okay, he's saying they can't see. He says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Remember, like we were saying in the book, I mean, in the study that we're doing for the sermon, to let you know that a lot of people that say they're saved aren't, and they go to church and they're sitting there and their heads are spinning. Why aren't they getting it? Really not Christian. Now, once again, most will get insulted by it, and how dare you not call me Christian? While once again, the true believer will understand that and go, wait a minute, so maybe I'm not. So what do I need to do to believe? They will receive what they need to believe, humbly accepting that word and understanding. It says, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves. You don't want me to get up and use me as an example and look how great I am and I'm so holy and all this other nonsense and put that up, the stuff out there. No. What we're supposed to preach, and this is the foundation of it, is Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Do you understand what that means? It means my job is to present Christ to you based on Christ, period. My job is not to you. My job is not to please you. My job is not to make you happy. My job is not to motivate you. My job is to take what my Lord gives to you, to be your Lord. Presented to you as him being Lord. And I can't change it because I'm a servant. So as a pastor, you won't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a servant. I have to answer to God. I have to answer to Christ. And we understand that. That's the ministry you want. So when you get some of them that come up and they have this authority to them, that you should be concerned. You should be very concerned because a lot of them are in how they're preaching an authority of self. They'll bring up Jesus, but not in a lordship type of way. They're not looking to him as I have to answer to him, and this is what he's saying. They'll give you their message, and you'll receive their message, and now you're lost because you receive their message. All right? So this is what we need to grasp. So this is what happens with those who confuse, who cause confusion. Okay, and it gives you, we got to see it in a nutshell but on 2 Corinthians 4, what every minister should be doing. This described every minister, and this is how it should be presented, what they shouldn't be doing, what they should be doing. So now, how about us that are just confused ourselves? Like I said, in regular life and certain things like that, I'm easily confused, but it's just regular life. It's usually disputable matters, things we'll talk about, and somebody may say, oh, how did you get that, not get that, and it's I have to blow it off and stuff like that. Easily confused on stuff like that. But overall, life, which is Christ, that stuff is clear. And why is it clear? It's because I'm some brilliant and clear. No. I have nothing more than what you have. Watch this. Okay. First of all, this section is talking about those who confuse. Man has distanced himself from God by not completely following God. Now, we read earlier. I am the way, the truth, the life. That means I'm about to give you the answer. So now let's say if you came to somebody about that math equation and they put all these numbers and letters and stuff like that in front of you, and it ended with, and this equals two, right? And you know that was your source of truth. Your answer would go, that equals two. I don't understand it, but I know this equals two. That would be it. Here are the ones that are confused. How does that equal two? That doesn't make sense. It can equal two. It must equal something else. The way I'm looking at it, I see some X's in there and I see some Y's and I see a bigger number and I see some subtract. There's no way it can equal two. So by your perception and by how you see it, you're not taking what it says. So when he says this in Romans 1, 20 through 23, it says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature, watch this, have been clearly seen. To all of us, we should go, that's our answer. That should be it. That's that the answer is two. I don't understand it because we'll look around and say, I've seen people born in certain situations. I know people that were born in some places that are way out. I've seen people in this, and I've seen. And the way it looks to me, this is why we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith said, he told me it's clearly seen. Did you catch that? He's saying, oh, no, it's there. He's saying everything about to know about God right there. His invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature. Everybody sees God clearly. So That's the first thing. I see God clearly. So none of us need glasses to see clearly. He's saying, oh no, that part's already there. He's saying being understood for what has been made so that men are without excuse. Why is that so powerful? Because it's basically saying we're seeing it. So what he's putting it back on is us. He's like, so if I'm not seeing it, it's not because it's not clear. It's because somewhere I'm making it unclear. I'm doing it. Does that make sense? The people that question it will go, no, God, you did it because I did everything I could do. That means we're not completely following God. We're not trusting God. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So in that same stance, what we just said, you say, I worship and I praise him, and you'll cry and you do all this stuff, singing a song, but you'll question him just on this basic statement right here. And this is where our confusion comes in, because not just this statement, the entire Bible. There are certain things we read and we're staring at it. And why are we struggling with it? Because it doesn't seem right. Not, I don't understand. The not, I don't understand means I'm accepting what you gave me, God. Now it's going to take some time to gain how I'm supposed to understand it, but I got what you said here. You know what I mean? I see what you said here. If God came down and told everybody, I'm letting everybody know, sky is not blue, it's yellow. However, everything else down here that you see is blue, that's blue. Some of us go, but wait, God, I see it looks like blue and it matches with the sky, so it must be blue. You must be telling me a lie. That's exactly what we do to God. Instead of us hearing God say, sky's yellow, and that's going, got it. See, walking by faith means I take him at his word, not what I see, not what I feel, not what I think. He says, I've been clearly seen to everybody. Men really have no excuse. No man. He says, men are without excuse. Because we're choosing not to glorify him as God. And then he says, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And that's what's happening today, even amongst the church. And you're going to see the elements that are causing that. It says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Keyword, claim. A lot of us like to say we're smart. And in a worldly sense, we are. We were talking. I was talking to the family earlier about certain people we see on TV, and you got these commentaries and these experts that get on there, and they're brilliant people by world standards. But remember, that brilliance God calls foolish. You understand that? That's why he says, although they claim to be wise, and this is where we mess up with God, because we come to God stupid. Do you understand that? See, if we came to God humbly, all I want him to do is give me the answer. After I get the answer, thank you. We come to God with, okay, God, give me the answer. He says, okay, the sky is yellow. We go, come on, God, that's wrong. And now we want to have a debate with God. And that's exactly what we do. We become fools. You see that? We become fools and exchange the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. That's why man started building statues, because God made no sense. And we still do that today because God makes no sense. God said that. He gave this from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He was like, whatever you do, don't walk by your senses, because it's not what it seems. There's a way that seems right. And in the end, it's going to be destruction. Just do what I say. We go to the word so we can get our, remove the stuff to get our clarity back. But when I keep adding stuff in front of it, I'm still at fault. Got to get that. We're going to close on this last one here. The reason why people still won't budge, even after that's been said and after that's taught, is because we have what's called hardened hearts. Hardening of our hearts causes confusion. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19 said, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. So he's giving this command from God that everybody must do, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do. Well, how did the Gentiles live? In the futility of their thinking. What does that mean? It means I come to God while I'm thinking. Some of you may go, well, of course you got to do that. No. What I mean by that is I come to God and I basically say, God, you have to fit my understanding in order for me to understand it. Even though the verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, which was later in this passage once again, because we still come to him with our understanding. So you're basically holding a bowl of your understanding and basically saying, God, if what you have to give me doesn't fit into this bowl, I can't accept it. And even though you may say you accept it, your life shows otherwise. And this is where we become stagnant. That's why he says the futility or the worthlessness of their thinking. They'll sit there and they write books, they say stories, they tell poems, meaningless. They just wasted a whole lot of time and paper and people and stuff like this because they start thinking God gave the answer. And in that, they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God. And all this because of the ignorance that is into them due to the hardening of their hearts. Human stubbornness is so prevalent down here. Something that is so strong in all that we do is one reason why Christians are spiritually stagnant. Because there's an ignorance in there that we can't budge. And where is it from? We're too stubborn. See, get rid of your stubborn, being stubborn is where you would take everything you have and believe, throw it out the door and start from scratch. Okay, God, what you say, go, I'm going to start. I told you I had to literally do that because from my teens to my early 20s, going through that, I was that stubborn. I had a set view of God. And I came to God with my set view, and my life was so confused. I was confused. I was frustrated. Got in the wrong churches. Got in the wrong groups. I was just so frustrated. So I finally said, okay, we're just going to take him as what he said. And I didn't say I understood it, but I started accepting it. And I started accepting it. The clarity came back that we all have access to. We all have it. I don't have it any more than anybody else. It's the fact of what I'm, the less that I'm allowed. And you got to do the same. And he says, the ignorance due to them to the hardening of the heart, having lost all the sensitivity. Now, watch what he says here, because sometimes when people read this, they think it's just referring to sex. But it says they have given themselves over to sensuality. That sensuality doesn't just mean sex. It means giving myself over to feelings. I'm giving myself over to what feels good, right? That's why people went away from preaching the truth and start preaching passion. They start preaching sermons to touch you. Have you ever came out of a sermon? You're like, wow. You notice how at the end of some sermon, they start playing the music and they'll say some very, and all that stuff's fine, but we lean more onto the feeling instead of the message. Have you ever thought about that? Right? If I could set the right tone, you miss out on what really needs to be said. And this is, they gave themselves over to that feeling as to indulge in every kind of impurity. Why? Because it feels good. You're giving me a feel-good message. And now you want more. And that is the vicious cycle most of the confused are going through right now. I want to hear that message that made me feel good, and I want to keep getting more of it. It's no different than a drug. The minute a person takes a drug and they come down off their high, they should go, why did I come down off my high? Because that was artificial. That was dangerous. I'll never do it again. That makes too much sense, doesn't it? What do? I got to do that again. And whatever it takes, I don't care how much I destroy my life, I'm going to keep going after it until I can keep getting that high. We do the exact same thing. And that's confusion. And that's all due to our stubbornness to cater to self instead of following him. Any questions? Amen. Study that. Make sure y'all go over it. And you know, hopefully you have questions or you'll be clear on it. And then, like I said, next week, God willing, we will then continue on how we're confused. And then we're going to finish up with how to keep from being confused. So this process is something that will hopefully get you back to clarity, which everyone has access to. And hopefully you realize your confusion is not something that you are. It's something you allow. All right. We have no other questions. Let us pray out. Dear Most Heavenly Most gracious Father, once again, we thank you, dear Lord, for the clarity that you have given us, dear Lord. And we just ask you for your forgiveness and for your continual help, dear Lord, for us to remove the obstacles that we've placed in front of ourselves, for the blinders that we place in our faces, dear Lord, for the blurriness that we have allowed to come upon our lives when you have given us clarity. Help us to get back into that clarity, dear Lord, that we may see you and just take you at your word, dear Lord, and not allow our feelings and emotions and how we see things to come in the way. Help us not to become the victim, dear Lord, and start using things to get in the way of what your word is telling us we are and what we need to be. We know these emotions and feelings are real, so help us to deal with them and not let them deal with us. So as we leave out of here today, we ask for continual blessings on those who are sick and shut in, those who are overcoming sicknesses, those who are still mourning and struggling from loss, those who are just having a hard time with life, those who are jobless, dear Lord, those who need finances, those who may have too much, dear Lord, help guide them as well. Help all of us, dear Lord, that we may continue to look to you in the right way as the way. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all.
Amen.
Have a good night.
Night. Good night.